Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song this morning. And God wants to hear us sing during those times because that's the best thing for us. Most important thing we can do in the midst of troubles and trials and storms is to sing praise and worship to the Lord. And what a blessing that is. Thank you, men, for that special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 12. John in chapter 12, I believe that's special. The message that's special goes right along with what we're going to be preaching on this morning. John chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. John chapter 12, so if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to assemble ourselves together and to worship you in spirit and truth. And I just pray, God, right now for all that are here, Lord, only you know what's taking place in their lives and what's on their hearts and their minds even this morning. But God, they're here in church, and we know that as we have gathered together in your name, that you're here in the midst with us. And I pray that each one, first of all, would be able to sense your presence in this place, and then that they would open up their hearts and their minds to receive that which you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. In chapter 11, the previous chapter, we find that Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead 4 days, and he had been placed in the tomb, and Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. After he had raised Lazarus from the dead, then the religious rulers got together and decided that Jesus should die because the people were starting to follow after him. At a time when they should have acknowledged him as being the Messiah, they were thinking of themselves, and they came to the conclusion that Jesus would have to die. Then we find chapter 12. In chapter 12, as we've just read, there was a gathering to celebrate Jesus and Lazarus. And many of the people around came to not only see Jesus, but as you can imagine, if you heard of somebody who had been dead for 4 days and now they're alive and walking around, and if you were close, you would want to go and see this living dead man. And so there no doubt would have been a huge crowd all around the house, and as many as could get into the house, no doubt they would have been there. But they come to acknowledge this and to celebrate Lazarus' resurrection and Jesus as well. Mary does at this time is possibly the purest example throughout the whole Bible of pure, true worship. I hope that's what you got out of the text that we just read. All this was going on, but Mary came with one thing in mind: to worship Jesus as her Savior. That's what this passage, I believe, is all about. She came focused on Jesus himself. She bypassed everything else. Bypassed the crowd outside. Bypassed even Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus. Bypassed everything else that was going on. And she focused on her Lord. And as she focused on Jesus, we find that she does something here that God has recorded for us to look to and to look at as a pure example of true worship. Mary anoints the feet of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous passage of Scripture when it comes to this understanding of true worship. The first thing I want us to look at concerning Mary's anointing of the feet of Jesus would have been her motive. Her motive for being there was to worship Christ. The definition of worship, if you would look in the Webster's Dictionary, it would say the voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another. If you're looking to actually worship somebody, then you have to first of all humble yourself and then express the worth of another in worship. The worship of God, as we study the Scriptures and look at how we apply this type of worship to God, the worship of God takes place when a believer. Now, let me clarify that. Only a true believer can worship God, because you have to know who He is and you have to believe in Him. Amen. So as you look to worship God, there's many people in church services all around the world today. And they might be thinking about, they come to worship God, but if they are not focused on who God truly is, they're not focused on His truth and His plan for them to worship Him, they're not truly worshiping Him. They might in their minds think that they are, but according to the Bible, in order to be able to worship God without worshiping, without knowing who Jesus Christ is, without knowing God, the Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. When it comes to our relationship with God, we are dead to God in our relationship with Him. We can't worship Him if we are dead to Him. So as we understand the definition of worship, the voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another, then we look at the Scriptures and understand, all right, what is true worship of God? What is that? The true worship of God takes place when a believer directs their heart, their soul, and their mind, their entire being, if you will. You have to take your entire being and humble yourself to acknowledge God and the worth of who He is. And so the worship of God takes place when a believer directs their heart, soul, and mind toward God in holy, humble submission and adoration. That's biblical worship of God. Now, if you would, look over to back with me to John chapter 4, because Jesus was helping the believers, the disciples, understand that God indeed desires true worship. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 and verse 24, as He's speaking to the woman at the well, He wants her to understand what true worship is all about. And so we find here in John chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers." Now Jesus uses that phrase, "true worshipers." For Him to use the phrase of "true worshipers" helps us to know that there are some out there that are false worshipers. There are some out there that think that they're worshiping God, but are not really worshiping God, because they're blinded to their understanding of who God is. They're blinded to the understanding of acknowledging God and then humbling ourselves to acknowledge His worth. If you don't know who he is, there's no way that you can acknowledge him and exalt him concerning how he needs to be exalted because of who he is. And so we find here that Jesus trying to help the disciples to understand that there is a true worship. The Bible says, for the hour cometh and now is. Because Jesus brought revelation to humanity. Jesus brought the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And we have, over the last month, we have studied many passages of scriptures. And we preached several messages on the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means to us today. And it means a whole lot. There's so much about the birth of Christ and what it brings to us in our understanding of God, our understanding of the very words of God, our understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament and the things to come that are still yet to come to pass. Understanding Jesus Christ and what he brought to us. So he says, and now is, because Jesus is here, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's according to God. If we are going to have worship, and what God is looking for is worship, true worship, and true worship is worshiping God according to truth, understanding who he is, understand that we worship him in spirit and in the truth that he has given to us, acknowledging how we should do this. And so he said, the Father, that the true worship that shall worship in the Father in spirit and in truth, the Father seeketh such to worship him. He sent his Son to help humanity to understand just who he is. He sent his Son to help humanity to understand how much God loves humanity. He sent his Son to clarify and to bring revelation, the revelation of God to man, so that we might know the truth and that we might be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. And to know that God is a seeker of that. That's what he desires. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must. You can't worship God the way you want to worship God. Now, you can, but you're not worshiping God. You can't have church the way you want to have church. You can, but it's not truly a biblical church. It's not his church. You can assemble yourself together and act like that you're in a worship service, and you can do whatever you want to do. You can have the world's music, and you can have the world's tactics, and you do whatever you want to do. You can do that, and you can be blinded in your own hearts and minds to worship, but that is not true worship. True worship is looking to God for who he is and then acknowledging him as he would have us to acknowledge him in worship. So we find that's what Jesus is presenting to them. Mary she sat at the feet of Jesus often, and every time she had an opportunity, she would listen, and she would have known exactly what Jesus was teaching concerning true worship. Yes. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So now we go back to our text. Mary, no doubt, had been thinking about all that Jesus had been teaching, and recently the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave. Now, she had met with Jesus, and she said, Jesus, if you had come earlier, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And then right after that, after Jesus wept, he calls Lazarus out of the grave. Now, Mary had been sitting at the feet of Jesus. She had learned everything he had taught. She had heard him teach about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It hadn't all set in just quite yet, as it hadn't for any of the disciples, totally to understand what was taking place. But she remembered what he had taught. And this was the final thing that would allow Mary to realize who Jesus was. He resurrected Lazarus from the grave. And she's witnessing this. She's right there. And she sees her brother, whom she had been weeping over the fact that if Christ would have been there earlier. And now she realizes he's God. And her jaw would have dropped when Lazarus would have come walking out of that grave. And so now she's thinking. Now she realizes that Jesus and Lazarus are back in Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house. She's thinking, he's here. Jesus is actually sitting at the supper table. And I believe God had been preparing her to do this. And Mary takes advantage of her opportunity to come and worship Jesus Christ. I love that thought. Once you realize, when you truly realize who Jesus is, and God opens the doors of opportunity to worship Him, who would not want to take advantage of that? Who would not want to take advantage of being able to do what God says He wants us to do and He's seeking us to do, and that is to worship Him? But we have to do it His way, in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you, in our daily lives, we have opportunity to worship God? If you're saved here this morning, you know who Jesus is, you believe in Him, and God says that there's some things you can do that we ought to do in living our daily lives that will bring not only honor and glory to Him, but it will be a type of a worship, acknowledging Him. Again, listen. The worship of God takes place when a believer directs their heart, their soul, and their mind toward God in holy, humble submission. God, not my will, but thy will be done. Every day of our lives, we have an opportunity to acknowledge God and His will, and it's going to take us denying us and our will. And as we humble ourselves, we exalt Him. Though voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another. The Bible says over in the book of Romans in chapter 12, and let me just read it to you here. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1, a verse that many of us know. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Bible says that we have God living inside of us, and because of that, then our bodies become the temple of God. And as we yield ourselves to do the will of God, and we humble ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, then we are pleasing God. The Bible says in Psalms in chapter 96, it helps us understand how we connect this to worship. In Psalms in chapter 96, in verse 1 down to verse 9, I love this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, the psalmist writes here, it says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Amen. And as the quartet sang this morning, no matter what's going on in your life, God wants you to sing. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what kind of oppression that you're under, no matter what kind of storm, the most important thing for you to do is to acknowledge God and worship Him in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm. And the way we do that is sing honor and glory and praise to God. So the psalmist says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. From day to day, show forth that I'm not my own. Show forth that I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I want to live the life that Christ wants me to live, the Christian life. I want to do what God would have me to do and exalt Him, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. He's the only true God. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Just live your life as God would have you to live, exalting Him. And on a daily basis, I'm able to worship God in how I live my life. But there's more than that. As a born-again believer, we are to worship Him in the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible calls this first day of the week the Lord's Day. The Bible reveals to us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Lord's Day. We are to bring an offering on the Lord's Day. We are to come together on the Lord's Day. And we are to offer our offering, and we are to offer our praise, and we are to worship Him. What we're doing here this morning is all about worship. It is. Because we are being obedient to what God has told us to do. Well, I can worship at my house. I can worship at the lake. I can worship over here. No, you can't. You might try to convince yourself that you can, but if you're not doing it the way that God says to do it, you are not worshiping God. You have to do it His way. His way is Jesus established His church. And His way is Jesus has given to us a day in which we are to assemble ourselves together and we are to teach and to preach and to worship Him. Spirit and truth. Matthew chapter 18. Everybody with me this morning? Come on, follow with me this morning. I know that everyone's tired and there's been a lot going on and everybody's wore out. But listen to me, this is powerful stuff. Mary anointing the feet of Jesus and her motive behind it is such, ought to send such a message to us. When Jesus is present, when we have an opportunity to worship Him, do it. Matthew chapter 18, we find in Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, and this whole chapter here, especially verse 15 down to verse 19, he's helping us to see the importance of not having aught against our brothers and how we need to be in unity. And if there is a problem, then how we ought to, at the end result, bring it to the church. And the Bible says in verse 17 here, it says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Because the church is God's established authority on this planet earth. And the church's authority for the church is the Bible. And so we have the Bible, Jesus revealing to us the importance of the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. He says the church is important. And then down in verse 20, he says this, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, where the church has come together, when the church is assembled, there am I in the midst. Can I tell you that we pray all week long? I tell you this often because I want you to understand it. I pray all week long that God would use the church services to minister to the member, first and foremost, to the membership of this church. I prepare all week long to be able to be used by God to present messages from this Bible right here so that God can take the message. And if you're present, He can apply that message to your life. And when you come with this idea, when you come with this mentality, you come with humble submission to God, and you come with a desire to worship Him, and you open your heart and your mind up to God, God will work through the preaching of the Word of God. He'll work through the teaching of the Word of God, and God will take that message, and He will make it applicable to your needs. And it will help you. It will strengthen you. It will be what you have need of. But if we don't take advantage of the opportunities that we have to meet with Christ and to bow down before Him and to have this mentality of humbling ourselves so that I can exalt you and let me anoint the feet of Christ, you'll not receive the help that God has for you. You're taking away the church out of your life, which is God's refuge for you. And first and foremost, it's for the membership of this church, but then the doors are open to anybody and everybody. And I believe it's God who works in your life to bring you through the doors, whether it be for one visit or for many visits, that God works to bring you into the place, and He knows exactly what's going to be preached. He knows exactly how He's wanting to take the messages, whether it's the message of song, but mainly the message of the preaching of the Word of God, and make application to your life. That's how God works. That's what Jesus brought to this New Testament church age. That's what Jesus is establishing. That's why he said, God seeketh us to worship him this way. It's very, very important. This is what God wants for you. And then he allows us the example of Mary. A pure example of worship. Jesus has promised to be in our services. We pray that God would prepare you, that you would sense the presence of God in this place. And you will if you come to worship. Mary was taking advantage of her opportunity to worship Jesus. What were her actions? I believe this was the mindset of Mary, no doubt about it. Now think about it. She had just seen Jesus resurrect her brother Lazarus from the grave. She had sat at the feet of Jesus and heard him teach about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and all these other revelations that he's brought to mankind. And now she's putting it all together. And when she came with a motive, not of seeing Lazarus and not talking to the crowd, not eating supper. She came with one thing in mind: worship. Her actions in worship. If you look back there with me in John chapter 12, in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Many believe as they would look at the price of that type of oil in that day, it would be a year's supply. It'd be a year of finances for her to be able to bring what she brought. Very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Her actions. As Mary would have been thinking about Jesus, she was led by God to take with her the best that she had to offer. The best that she had to offer. Can I tell you that God knows what you have? And before anything else, God wants you. Bring your best attention. Bring your best devotion. Bring your best attitude. Bring your best whatever it might be when you come to worship God. I think that what we wear helps our thinking. It really does. Now, God's looking at the heart, but I believe that that's why when we come together for church services, I think that everybody, in looking to bring your best, I think that everybody ought to try to look their best. Now, that's different for some, amen? Not everybody has the same amount of money. Not everybody has the same amount of clothing. Not everybody has the same amount of whatever. But when your mentality is not to please men, it's to please God, I want to bring my best. I want to come looking my best. When you go somewhere else to honor somebody, if you were called to the White House, more than likely you would want to look your best. When you go over to somebody's house, even for a visit, you want to go and you want to look your best. That's why it takes sometimes certain women a couple hours. Every time I'm thinking, while I'm waiting, I'm sure thankful, God, you made me a man. 15 minutes and we're out the door, amen? Well, 15 minutes and then wait an hour and 45 minutes. But anyway, I'm all right with that, all right? As a man, we have to be taught patience, and sometimes that helps us to learn patience. But anyway, what I'm saying is, do you have the mentality of worship? I want to bring my best. As she was thinking about Jesus and all that was going on, there's no doubt it was the Holy Spirit of God, because he knew he would be writing it down for us to read and study afterwards. But not only did she want to look her best, she wanted to bring her best as she brought a pound of ointment. See, in worship, we must look to give. Holy, humble submission to God. And God wants our hearts first and foremost. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus helped us to understand this as well. In Matthew chapter 22, we find a lawyer asking Jesus, just what is the most important thing in the Old Testament? If we would bring the Old Testament to the New Testament, what would you say is the most important truths? He said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Always. That's what God wants. Not only that, but and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Focus on humbling yourself before God. This is the first and great commandment. God wants you, basically. God wants your devotion. God wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your mind on Him. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, he says, everything else is on these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. See, Mary would have bowed her knees and then bringing this pound of ointment poured on Jesus and used her own hair to keep it on him, that he would get it all. Wow. She gave her most precious possession and publicly demonstrated her faith in Christ. Can I tell you that all the eyes of all the people were on Mary when she was doing this? And she wanted, knowing that all the eyes were upon her, she wanted everyone to know that she was acknowledging Christ with her very best. With her very best. That was her actions. What were the responses as we look here? The first response the Bible gives to us is that of Judas Iscariot. The response is in verse 4 down to verse 6. The Bible says, Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, the Bible helps us to understand his motive for saying this, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. His mind was not on worship. Judas was blinded to true worship, and he had a critical spirit. Now, there's many that assemble themselves together here every Sunday. Can I tell you that not everyone that is assembled here is coming for true worship? There's some that will come just to see the crowd. There's some that will come just to see, just nosy, just wanting to see what's going on. There's some will come with a critical spirit. There's some that will come and sit there and say, bless me if you can. Now, praise the Lord, this church doors are open to everybody because you can't help people by running them off. You help people by having them come and then presenting the gospel and trust that the Spirit of God can penetrate an old, cold, and hardened heart to get into that soft tissue, if there's any still left there, and to present to them the very love of God. So praise the Lord for all who come. But those that are going to receive what God has for you are those who come with a heart for worship. Yeah. Judas' response was that of a critical spirit. Because he was not there to worship, he could not understand. There's people that leave here that did not come for worship, that didn't understand what took place during the preaching of the Word of God. There's people that come here that during the most important time, during the most important time when the messages are being presented and the hearts are being convicted and there's going to be an invitation, they leave, or they do something to distract people around them. And they're not into the worship. They didn't come for the right thing. They've not been plugged into the services. And they'll leave without having received what God had for them. If you come to worship, don't pay a lot of attention to the things around you. If you come to worship, focus on Christ. Think about it. Mary, coming through, she had to fight through the crowd. No doubt there was crowds all around because they wanted to come to see Lazarus. See the fact that there was somebody that had been dead for 4 days and now was resurrected. And they wanted to see this Jesus. Now, they didn't come to worship him. They just come to see, look at him, to see who he was. He was able to raise the dead. And they were all around. And Mary had to fight her way through the crowd to get to the house. And then when she came into the house, she didn't focus on Lazarus. And she didn't focus on what they had ready to eat. She focused on one thing. She had prepared herself by bringing her very best. She brought her very best mindset. She brought her very best desire. She brought her very best, everything that she could possibly bring, and she humbled herself at the feet of Christ and poured the ointment, her very best, and then took her own hair, gave all of herself to be able to keep all that ointment on Christ. That's powerful. So Judas didn't understand it because he wasn't there to worship. A lot of the other ones probably were distracted by some of the things that Judas had said. And then Jesus responded. And we'll close with this. Jesus responds, verse 7. And Jesus, then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Stop being critical of her. She's the only one here that truly understands what's going on. Learn from her. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." She's listened to what I preach. She understood that in just a matter of a few days, he would be on the cross of Calvary. She came to anoint him before he would die. Mary was acting out of knowledge and opportunity. The knowledge she knew of his death, burial, and resurrection, she listened to his teachings. She was there knowing that this is where he wanted her to be. This is what he would have her to do. She came with the knowledge of anointing him the Messiah, the Savior, to worship him as God. So she was there acting out of knowledge, and she was there acting out of opportunity. Verse 8, it says this, "For the poor always you have with you." There's always time, and I want you to take care of the poor, and I want you to help the poor, but there's always going to be poor. There's always going to be people in need. "For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." When we have opportunity, Mary took advantage of the opportunity to worship. Do you have the knowledge of who Jesus is? If you do, then you've taken advantage because you're here of the opportunity. Are you worshiping him? Are you looking to God to receive what God has for you as you have come to worship him? If you have, there's no doubt in my mind, God has given to you a spiritual blessing that will strengthen you as you leave this place. If not, maybe as you don't have the right knowledge, maybe you don't have the right relationship, maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity to respond. If God has convicted your heart concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to come this morning and receive a gift, a free gift that brings to you everlasting life and that will do a work inside of you to where you will have a desire to worship him. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Mary's anointing of the feet of Jesus and how she did it was probably the purest example of what worship truly is. You come to worship? Have you come to worship today? Maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe you need to come and make a decision. Maybe you need to come and acknowledge who God is in your life. Worship Him. Worship Him. The voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another. Humble yourself and exalt Him. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray even now, God, that as we have preached what you would have us to preach this morning, I pray that we would acknowledge, God, if there's those here that need to make decisions, I pray that everyone here would make the decision you'd want them to before it's eternally too late. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.